And she's such a wonderful person as well. We'll bring her on. State Representative Tammy Zawistowski. Tammy, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Thanks so much for having me on your show. And happy Phase 1 reopening day.
Yes. Happy Phase 1. This is something indeed to celebrate, isn't it?
It is for a lot of people, but not for everybody. I know that some of the small businesses are very happy having the opportunity to reopen, but, I mean, others have been left in the dust.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about this morning. It seems like the governor is picking winners and losers as far as, you know, the first phase is concerned. First, you know, hair salons can open, and then, I know hair salon owners who have... they received their money rather late, you know, from the government, and then they're trying to live on that. They're trying to buy supplies in order for them to reopen, and there's new plastics they have to purchase. There's new protocols that are going into place, as you know, Tammy, and in order to make sure that their facility is up to the guidelines that indicated by the state, they've had to shell up money that they really don't have in order to do that. And they're thinking, well, it's an investment. At least I'm able to open my doors. And then in the 11th hour, the governor more or less, takes the carpet right underneath their feet. And now they're forced to remain closed until, and there's really no date that's given other than, quote, early June. I'm sure you've spoken with hair salons in your neck of the woods over in the Granby area. What are you hearing from them?
A lot of them are extremely frustrated, and some of them are livid. Some of them have not received any any unemployment from the government yet because of some of the snafus for the Department of Labor. But it goes beyond that, too, because at first when the governor said May 20th would be fine, it was, but no blow dryers. Then all of a sudden, blow dryers are fine. And then now all of a sudden, 3 days before opening, he said, no, you can't open. They are just frustrated. They're just so frustrated that they just want to spit, it's really bad. And it's not only that. I mean, there are other businesses that were left in the dust right from the beginning. If you look at the small antique and gift shops, things, small shops that have like one of kind items that you can't order online and pick up, they were not allowed to open yet. Ocean State Job Lot was opened, Lowe's was opened. I mean, and a lot of these places are crowded. There's no reason that these smaller shops were going to, needed to be closed. They could have the same precautions, and some of them are actually closing.
Closing for good. Yeah,
they're closing for good. No, my husband actually rents space in a antique shop down on the shoreline in Old Saybrook, and we just got the word a couple weeks ago that they said they couldn't survive. They're closing.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a shame. It really is. And, there's no reason that they couldn't have followed the same guidelines and been open right from the beginning.
Well, actually, I think it would be safer because there's fewer people in these smaller mom-and-pop stores than there are, these box stores,
Yeah.
What do you think the vendetta is, if it's even a vendetta, against small business?
I don't think it's necessarily a vendetta. I think it's mostly just not listening. I'm a small business owner. I was not affected because I'm online. But I'm also on the Connecticut Leadership Council for NFIB, a National Federation of Independent Business.
Yeah.
They were totally left out of the 50-person panel that the governor appointed. There was almost no, it's a moot point now since they disbanded the panel. None of the small business organizations were consulted.
Yeah, but the CBIA, wasn't Joe Brennan a part of that task force that the governor put together?
Yeah, they represent small businesses, but their focus has really been on larger businesses. NFIB is for they represent some of the really small businesses. These are the ones that you expect to grow.
Yeah.
These are the ones that will eventually take over. They're a huge part of our economy. And they're the ones that go out and buy and sponsor your little league teams when we're back to little leagues, give gifts for raffles for the different nonprofit organizations in their communities. These are part of the community, and they were not represented or listened to pretty much at all in this whole process.
Yeah, and I was a small business owner for 30 years. And I mean, not only would I be would my endorsements and from my political life with you up at in the state house is not only was it from CBIA but also the NFIB with my small business. All right, so let me switch gears a little bit to restaurants. So outdoor dining, but yet this is kind of smoke and mirrors in many ways, because just like with hair salon owners, a lot of these small restaurants are very disappointed because let's say that they don't have outdoor seating. And I understand the state is working with a lot of municipalities to kind of, you know, loosen some of the restrictions that TPZs and town ordinances that may already have their guidelines and their regulations already in place. So the state is asking them to loosen them. Okay, so let's say that occurs. A lot of these restaurants are not, even if they were to open up a few tables in front of their store, in front of their restaurant, would there be enough for the constitute bringing in your entire staff and restocking everything and making food purchases? And because most of these smaller restaurants that I see, if they were to have any tables out in front of their building, or in front of their specific front, they'd only be able to fit about four or five tables max. And they'd have to, actually, maybe even a table less than that, because they'd have to space them out a little bit.
Yeah, and it's very hard to make money stretching that out. And I know there are some restaurants that aren't even going to try doing the outdoor dining and just going to stick with takeout because it's
yes.
going to be more expensive.
Yep.
The cleaning is going to be a lot more stringent. The attention paid to those outdoor tables is pretty strict. You can't put condiments out. You have to print up your own menus, which that's probably not a big deal. But the increased staff, it's going to be very difficult to make money. I know that a lot of towns have gotten out ahead and tried to accommodate the restaurants, even before the governor gave his executive order allowing towns to loosen the zoning regs. I know Suffield, which I represent, they were out immediately. They were one of the first towns to loosen up restrictions to help some of their local businesses.
Were they allowed to do that?
The town set up the towns do have control over their zoning regs, to a certain degree, and they were able to loosen up their zoning regs to be able to allow tables out in the parking lots and things like that.
Right.
So some restaurants are going to be in towns that will work with them, and some of them won't.
You know, it's such. This is a day that should be really positive and uplifting. It's a step in the right direction. The weather is nice. People can realistically be outdoors for breakfast, lunch, and dinner today if they choose to. But again, talking with some of these restaurateurs, and I'm not talking about the chain restaurants, because they've got a support system with their corporate office. It's really these mom and pop sole proprietorships, these small businesses, small restaurants that are really the ones that are going to be struggling the most. In hearing from them, are there any that you think in your district would be going out of business because of these restrictions?
I don't know of any for certain, but I do know that some of them are opting not to do the outdoor dining and just sticking with takeout. But other areas, like I was just reading on Capital Report this morning, Gino Auriemma is shutting down his
out of business
restaurant out in stores permanently.
Yeah, and this is a guy with a few bucks, too.
Yeah.
Well, and keep in mind that a lot of the restaurants near colleges, they depend 10 months out of the year, they're on fire. I mean, these kids, they patronize these places, particularly when it's Gino Auriemma's name that's attached to it. The other 2 months, if they can just stay afloat and get the bills paid by the townies, they'd take that in a heartbeat. Yeah,
I think you'll see that with some of the seasonal restaurants if they're not allowed to open too, because in some of the resort areas of the state around the shoreline particularly, I think you may see that unless you can get more these opened to indoor dining within a reasonable period of time. When tourism doesn't look too good in the near future, but if they can't get them some accommodations to be able to allow indoor dining, because sometimes it does rain, they're going to have a real tough time this year.
When do you think Indoor dining will take place. People are looking at 1 month from today, June 20th. But if you've heard Governor Lamont as closely as I have, he will not commit to that.
No, and actually, if he does commit to a date, I don't necessarily believe that that may be the date. With the reversal on the hair salons and barbers, I just it makes it impossible for these people to plan.
That's just really sad. We're talking with State Representative Tammy Zawiskowski. Oh, my goodness. What about some of the other small businesses, the retailers, the clothing businesses where, and I'm sure you've heard this as well, these changing rooms that are going to be closed. In other words, for some reason, the state government, to be more specific, they want you to try it on at home. So, in other words, buy it, take it home. If it doesn't fit, go back, re-enter the very store you purchased it from, which I can't believe that that's better than going into a changing room in which only you can fit in it, you know, only one person, and then exchange it for a different size. I mean,
then they have to either quarantine or steam clean the piece of clothing that you return as well. I mean, you might as well just order it online at that point.
So that really doesn't help the brick-and-mortar stores, and they're having a hard time as it is.
Yes, they're having a really tough time. And people really want clothes right now, too. And, you know, shoe stores, who wants to really order shoes online? I mean, you really can't,
I know.
I can't sure order shoes online. I think most people can't because half the time they aren't, you know, they fit differently for every brand.
We were talking about that earlier. I'm like, in my sneakers, I'm a size 11 and a half. And in my shoe, I'm a size 11. And who knows if it's a risk for me to order sneakers or shoes online because I have a 50% chance that they'll fit, you know.
Yeah. You know, Gary, I think people are trying to balance the public health impacts against economic impacts. And they're really the same thing. The economic impacts are really, you know, they're people impact. They're family impact. They're mental health impact. You know, it affects the kids. It affects the business owners. I mean, a lot of this stuff is going to really it's going to leave marks. I'm really afraid for some of the kids here because if their parents can't work, they're going to be losing out on a lot.
Yeah, I think the cure could be more dangerous than the actual pandemic here. You know, Connecticut is the last state to have some restrictions lifted. And I know we're in the top three. It was New York, New Jersey, and then Connecticut was third. But even New York and New Jersey have lifted, not all, but many of their restrictions. How serious do you think at this stage, and again, I really want to be clear with this question because I could get two different answers if I say from the beginning. At this stage, where we are right now, May 20th, how serious now do you think people are taking the coronavirus?
I think they're taking them seriously enough to follow the guidelines. There will always be people who decide, you know, they want to push the barriers or really want to express themselves, their independence, which is fine. I mean, but I think people for the most part are taking things seriously. I went out grocery shopping yesterday and the atmosphere is totally different than it was a week ago in a grocery store. Yeah. People don't skulk anymore. Before, they wouldn't even meet your eyes. Now people are a little friendlier. I mean, granted, you can't see if they're smiling or not, but people are wearing masks. They're obeying the distancing to the degree that they can. There are people, if they walk the wrong way down the aisle, people don't glare at them anymore. They kind of, the person will say, oh, sorry. People are a little looser. I really think that people are respecting the guidelines, and going along with them for as long as it takes right now. Mm-hmm. But people are getting very impatient.
Yeah, I think people are self-regulating.
Yes.
In other words, the people who were, I don't know, more anxious or maybe even, I don't want to use the word paranoid because that's a strong word, but overly conscious, maybe is a better way to put it, a month or so ago, are starting now to see, especially with the nicer weather and people spending more time outdoors and wanting to socialize, I think people now are getting antsy, you know, and saying, yeah, okay, enough is enough with this.
Yeah, I mean, people who are compromised in some way or elderly, I mean, they should probably stay home unless they feel confident enough to go out. And also, you know, I think it needs to be pointed out that nobody's forcing stores to open. If they want to stay closed, they can stay closed if they're not comfortable being open.
But the same should be said about individuals. You know, we're not forcing anybody to stay home or to go out. You know, if you're under 70 and you don't have a pre-existing condition or any respiratory issues or asthma, anything like that, if you're just and you're fine, go out. You know, go to the restaurants, you know, patronize a store. They could certainly use your business, you know, but there's this undercurrent. And I think the media has a lot to do with the scare tactics or whatnot, that people are just afraid to, some people are just afraid. And then there's other people on the spectrum that are going out there and saying, hey, they're not going to wear a mask. I'm okay. I'm not going to catch anything and I'm fine. I guess there's two schools of thought, I suppose, huh?
Yeah, I mean, there's a wide spectrum of people, so there's a wide spectrum of the way people react to this.
Sure, I only got about a minute or so left with you. All right, so let's look forward here. It's a good day because it's a step in the right direction. Sad that more could not have been accomplished by today's first phase. Let's look ahead. What do you think will be the next phase? When do you think it'll be here, and what do we have to look forward to?
Well, let me put it this way. The governor is saying June 1st on the barber shops and the hair salons right now. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. The next phase is supposedly not until June 20th. I'm hoping that business owners will contact the governor's office and possibly push for an earlier opening if they think that it's appropriate. There's several types of businesses there's no reason that they should have to remain closed if the safety protocols are followed.
Mm. Are you seeing, you don't think indoor seating at restaurants, I think I thought I heard you say, you don't think that'll be met on June 20th?
I hate to speculate on it. I would like to see it, but that I would really hate to speculate. I mean, we've had so many reversals that I just, you know, it's very difficult to try to gauge.
What about...
it's not like the governor is asking the legislature any questions like this.
Well, that's a whole other issue. We have Themis coming on tomorrow, and that's one of the questions I'm going to ask her as far as, you know, having the legislature, for all intents and purposes, being left out and not even being invited to the table at these closed-door meetings where they don't keep minutes and the media can't be there. We don't even know what's going on with not only the task force that is now expired, but this new,